have been times where I did not know what to say. I did not know what to do. And all I could do, Brother Gunderman, was speak the name of Jesus. I may not always know where my wife is. I may not always know where my friends are. I may not always be able to get a hold of you. And it takes a few minutes sometimes, even in today's age. But oh, he's as close as the mention of his wonderful name. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost moving here today. I give you two scriptures. You don't have to turn there. We'll bring them on the screen. Ephesians 3:20 and 1 Corinthians 2:9. Ephesians 3:20 is a very familiar scripture to us that says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." I like that because I got to tell you, I'm not that smart and I can't think very big. I'm glad I've got a God that could do more than I can ask and is bigger than what I think, according to the power that worketh in us. And then 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." I don't know what else to call this morning. I think I'm just going to call it outlandish faith. Outlandish. I looked the word up to make sure I wasn't being offensive. And it is a little bit offensive, I guess. It kind of means bizarre. It means outside the norm. And sometimes it can be offensive to people. And I thought, well, that kind of describes what I'm talking about today. Lord, help us today to deliver your word. Open our hearts and our spirits and help us, God, to receive what you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. And everybody said amen. Amen. Give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise before you're seated. Hallelujah. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. A man by the name of Marconi, when he announced that he had discovered a principle through which he could send messages through the air. He was the man who's credited for inventing the radio. When he began to announce his concepts to his friends had him committed to a psychopathic hospital for observation. His critics said, "The wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value." They said, "Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular?" The Wright brothers, they were ridiculed regarding their flying machines even after their success at Kitty Hawk. One scientific newspaper wrote stories about the lying brothers. Critics said airplanes are interesting toys, but of no military value. They said heavier than air flying machines are impossible. In 1943, a man by the name of Tom Watson, he was the chairman of IBM, he said, "I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers." In 1949, Popular Mechanics magazine made this very optimistic at the time forecast. They said, "Computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons." Ken Olson, president, chairman, and founder of Digital Equipment in 1977, said, "There's no reason anyone would want a computer in their home." And he may have been right there. When Graham Bell invented the telephone in 1876, Western Union sent out this internal memo to their staff. It said, "This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us." They laughed at Edward Jenner when, in the late 1700s, he claimed that if you were to take pus from a sick cow and poke it into a person's arm, I guess that would be a little outlandish, that it would somehow prevent that person from getting sick. But his hypothesis would become the very basis for all modern vaccination. They scoffed at Edison's announcement of a successful light bulb. They laughed at him. But hear me when I tell you that these men, even when ridiculed and persecuted, sometimes even arrested. They refused. Everybody say refused. They refused to be deterred. They refused to be discouraged, and they refused to be dissuaded. They decided that it didn't matter what anyone else might think. They decided that it didn't matter what anybody else said about them. And so undauntedly, they set their face to the wind, and they pressed on. And here today, all around the world, we flip a switch, and the world lights up. Today, all around the world, millions of people will board airplanes and fly all around the globe. Today, we pick up our cell phones and call all around the world. Today, we have computers that fit in our pockets, not 1.5 tons. Thank God for that. They fit in our pockets because someone said, it may seem outlandish to you. It may seem like a ridiculous concept to you. You might think I'm crazy. You might not understand my thoughts, but I'm not giving up. I'm not caving in. I'm going to keep on believing. I came this morning with this mission. I want to stretch your faith. I want to rebuild some of you. You need your faith rebuilt. The devil's coming against you, trying to get you to think small, believe small, act small. I came to tell the devil he's a liar. And God's word is true. And if you believe it, the Bible says all things are possible to him who believes. Give the Lord a shout in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, you may or may not believe that those inventions were inspired divinely. It doesn't really matter for the sake of my sermon. But all throughout the Bible, we see divinely inspired concepts. I have always liked to call them God ideas. God ideas. They were not men ideas. They were God ideas. Think about it with me. Stretching a rod, a stick, out over a sea and watching it part so that 2 or 3 million people could cross on dry ground. I guarantee you, nobody out of that 2 million or 3 million crowd came up to Moses and said, you know, I've been talking to somebody, and we kind of thought maybe. It wasn't a man idea. That was a God idea. They were ready to fight. They were ready to run. They were ready to swim. And God said, don't do any of those things. I've got an idea. I guarantee you, nobody came up to Moses out there in the wilderness and said, you know, we're all thirsty. Maybe if you went over there and started hitting on that rock over there. That was a God idea. Nobody came up to Joshua and said, you know, me and the boys thought about it. There's no way we can get through those walls of Jericho. Maybe if we marched around at one time every day for 6 days, and maybe on the seventh day we thought maybe we'd march around 7 times. Maybe on the seventh time some of us start shouting, some of us start blowing trumpets. Maybe they'd just crumble. Nobody thought of that in those millions of people. It was not a man idea. It was a God idea, so that when God got finished with his idea, no man could glory in his presence. You have to stand back and say, that was a God thing. That was not a man thing. Telling a leprous man, Naaman, to go jump in a muddy river and dip 7 times so that his flesh would become as a baby's flesh. That's not a man idea. In fact, it would offend man, but it was a God idea. And if man would do what God said to do, man would get what God said he would get. I guarantee you, nobody in Gideon's army of 32,000 said, maybe if we cut it down to 300. And nobody in that 300 had that idea, I assure you. And it wasn't Gideon who said, I think maybe we got too many men to fight these Midianites. It was a God idea that would take his army of 32,000 men that was already seemingly outnumbered and say, I'm going to cut you down to 300, and then present them with a battle plan of torches and pitchers and busting the pitchers and shouting and blowing trumpets. I guarantee you, no man thought of that. That was a God idea. Think about Jehoshaphat learning that he is being attacked by a confederate of armies, and he begins to strategize, and God says, I don't want you. It was no man. I guarantee you, nobody in his army, nobody of his horsemen or nobody of his archers or his swordsmen, and I guarantee you it was nobody in the choir either, that said, maybe if we just led the battle with singers, maybe instead of just kind of let the archers lay back and let the horsemen stay back and let all these fighters, maybe if the choir goes out first. No tenor thought of that. No alto thought of that. That was a God idea. But when God sent the praisers out first, victory came. And I'm telling you that when God thinks of it, if you'll just act on it, God will bring you what you never even thought was possible. I'm talking about outlandish faith. Somebody needs to receive this today. Somebody needs to get this in your spirit today. Somebody needs to think a fresh thought today, a bigger thought, a bigger belief. There is nothing too hard for our God. Well, what are you getting at, Brother Hawkins? It's simply this. Jesus said all things are possible to him that believes. You don't have to think it. You don't have to invent it. You do not have to conceptualize it. All you have to do, and all we are required to do, and all we've been commanded to do in this book is to believe. If God says it, believe it. If God lays it on your heart, believe it. If God calls you to it, believe it. If it's in his word, believe it. You may not always understand it all. You may not always be able to explain it all. But have you ever believed something that you could not explain? Well, I'm going to tell you, every single one of you have. How many of you got a car outside? Would you do me a favor? Reach in your pocketbook, your purse. What do you call them? Purses? Pocketbooks? Is that an outdated term? Reach in your purses, not you men. You men reach in your pockets. If you've got a purse, stick around for the next service. But get your key out. Would you do it? Just get your keys out. Now, don't hand them to the babies for the rest of my sermon. I don't want to hear this. But I just want you to hold it just for a second. I know some of you ladies, you got like, you're like my wife. I work out with her keys. I do curls with her keys. Here's my keys. Every one of you, you're going to leave here in a few minutes, and you're going to go outside. And you're going to put a key in an ignition. Now, I'm not preaching to all of you here, but most of you cannot tell me why that car is going to start. But in that car, under that hood, is power. There's power in that car. There are gears, and there are pistons, and there's things that ignite, and there's sparks, and there's explosions, and there's cylinders, and there's all of these valves and all these things that come to life, and the sparks and the explosions begin to happen in that engine, and it causes cylinders to fill up and pistons to move and arms to shift, and pretty soon you slip that into gear and it engages a thing called the transmission, and that starts turning back the wheels, and the wheels begin to move, and you can get in an automobile in just a few minutes, and if you weren't worried about breaking any laws or any dangers or anything, you could go down the road over 100 miles an hour. Your cars with speed limits, the maximum I think is 70, 80 miles an hour, but they build you a car. You have access to a car. You could go 200 miles an hour, some of you, very easily. There's power in that car, but most of you cannot tell me how that all happens. I don't understand. There's a red 2009 GMC Sierra sitting right out here, and when church is over in a little bit, I'm going to go out and get in the seat of that car or that truck like I have thousands of times before, and I'm going to take this little bitty key. I'm going to put it in the ignition of my truck, and I'm going to turn it. And there's not a single doubt in my mind that when I turn the ignition, things are going to begin to happen. You see, the power of the car is under the hood, but the power of me receiving the power is in my faith. I'm telling you that faith is the key that activates the power of heaven. And there, I do not understand it. I cannot explain it. I don't know how it all happens. It's just a God idea. I did not invent the truck. I just drive the truck. I did not come up with the idea. I just accept the idea. And I'm going to get in my truck, and I'm going to drive down the road, and I'm going to eat my lunch, and I'm going to get in my truck, and I'm going to drive back to church. And when I put the key, come on, somebody shout, faith. I'm telling you, faith is the key. Faith is the key that unlocks the power of God. You believe that's true, say amen. Amen. Okay, now let me preach to you a little bit more. If you believe that's true, no wonder the devil, your enemy, spends so much time and effort attacking your faith. He doesn't attack the singers getting their parts. I know when you singers can't find your part, you blame it on the devil. The devil doesn't care if you find your harmony. Denver can't find the beat. Oh, the devil. No, the devil's not in that drum cage. Amen. The devil don't care if you have good music or bad music. The devil doesn't care if the, I know when the sound system goes out, we're blaming the devil. That's just because the sound man don't want to take the blame. Devil's in the sound booth. No, he's not. Let me tell you, the devil's trying to pick your pocket. I'm not saying he's not here. I'm just saying he's not up there. He's not in there. He's not up here. He's right out. He's slipping in the pews with you. Every once in a while, you feel him. What you doing in there? Oh, nothing. I'm not a... See, you ever go to go somewhere? You ever get all ready, get all your stuff on, get all your stuff gathered up, go to get in your car, and you start... Isn't that a weird feeling? Where's my key? You married people, your husbands, you say to your wife, what'd you do with my key? Where's my keys? Have you seen my keys? No, I haven't seen your keys. Where'd you... You know, the famous question, where'd you have them last? I don't know! And this is the thing. You can have all that power. Full gas tank, full battery, oil in the engine. That car's out there ready to go. It can do more than you can ask. And it can do more than you can think. It can do more than you can understand. But if you don't find your key. I'm preaching. The Lord told me. I'm preaching to people this morning. The devil has picked your pocket and tried to steal your faith. The power's still there. Your experience is still there. You've still driven down the road thousands of times, but right now the devil's tried to steal your faith. I came to encourage somebody today and tell you that God is still in the healing business. God is still in the saving business. God is still in the restoration business. God still wants to anoint you. God still wants to use you. God still wants to save you. Come on, somebody. I'm just telling you, if you don't have the faith, nothing happens, but he is able. He is able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask and all that I think. It's not even entered the hearts of men. Not even entered my heart what all God's got prepared for me. I came here this morning to help you find your keys. Isn't it nice when somebody helps you find your keys? It's frustrating when you're looking for your key. You got to get out the door and everybody, you know, he's sitting in there eating his cereal and she's in there watching the news. And you're like, I need my keys. When you lose your keys, you feel like you're the only one in the world sometimes that cares. But I care. I care, Brother Bunch, if you lost your keys because you're my brother. And I love you. And I don't want you to be lost. I want you to find your keys. I want you to find your keys. I don't want your family to be lost. I don't want your dads. I don't want your wives begging you to go to church. I want you to be the one saying, hey, come on, get ready. We're going to church. I want to help you find your keys. Come on. Come on, somebody. Mamas, devil's coming against you. Some of you serving God all by yourself. And the devil trying to steal your faith. And there's mornings you get up and you wonder if you even want to reach for your key. Why even bother? Some of you say, why even bother? And so I came to encourage your day. I want to help you hang on to your keys. Because I just want to encourage you that God still loves you. God still cares. God still wants to work. And sometimes it's an outlandish thing to think, you know what? Even in the midst of all this, I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on believing. I know some of you had to reach and find your key there when I ask you to find it. You've reached for that thing so many times that when you go to reach for it and it's not there, it's a shock. And some of you are there right now. It's just kind of like, it's just slipped away. I am not blind to the effects of this pandemic and the shutdown and the quarantines. I am not blind as a spiritual leader. I am acutely aware of what the devil has tried to do. We have had people, I've seen two things. I've seen people who could not wait to get back to the house of the Lord. And as soon as the doors were open, they were, and as soon as it's safe, as soon as I'm able, I can't wait. And then there's people who, while they were shut down, You know, the Bible says that which can be shaken will be shaken. That does not just simply mean people will be. It means two things, I think. One is, I think it could also mean people that are in the world can be shaken out of the world into the church. There are some shakable people that are lost that are going to be shaken. But it also means that that which can be in the church can be shaken will be shaken loose. So this is the time for us to grab a hold tighter than we've ever had it. Devil, you're not. I know you're trying to get my key, but I'm on to you. I see you in my pocket. I see you trying to reach in my purse. I know what you're up to. And the moment you see him, you can. The Bible says if you resist him, he has to flee from you. He does not have the authority to take the keys from you. He does not have the authority to take your faith from you. Come on, I'm telling you, Christian, get back up. Get up out of your seat and get back to the house of God and worship. Worship your God and pray to your God and trust your God. He's still moving. Give the Lord a mighty hand clap all over this place. Hallelujah. Remember the man with the demoniac son, and he brought him to Jesus, didn't see Jesus. Jesus was gone, and the inner circle was gone. So the other disciples tried to cast the devil out of the boy, and they could not. Jesus comes back and intervenes. What's going on? I've brought my son to you, Lord. He has a lunatic spirit. It tries to kill him, drown him, foams at the mouth, throws him in the fire. Been like this since he's just a little boy. And Lord, he said to the Lord, if you can do anything, then please help us. And Jesus immediately turned it around. The King James Version is an interesting word. It says, canst, if thou can, do anything. And Jesus used the same word. He said, if you canst believe. It's almost like saying to your car, if you can take me down the road, then do it. And your car, if it could talk, would say, if you got the key, we can go anywhere. Oh, it's not deep, but it's good. Walk up to your car after a while. See if they don't check you out, put you in the hospital. Go up to your car and say, take me somewhere. I don't. They may have cars that do that nowadays, though. Start. I guess they do that too, don't they? take me to the Mexican restaurant. Because your car, if it can talk to you, you got a key? Put the key in. Turn the key. Let's see what happens here. I can take you anywhere you want to go. Jesus says, if you can believe, we can go anywhere. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Do you have the key? He said, Lord, I believe, but you might need to help me. You might need to help me find my keys. I know I have them. I know I have them. But I might need you to help me. Aren't you glad for a God that will help you? Who doesn't say, well, if you can't find your keys. Some of you are here today only by the grace of God, only by his mercy. You showed up at this moment, at this time, for this message. For this pastor to preach to you and say, God is still in the key finding business. He doesn't kick you down the road. Well, if you don't have the key, come on back when you find your keys. He says, okay, if you can, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me with my unbelief. And Jesus said, okay, I can help you. I can help you. I don't know how many times the Lord has helped me. I had to go find my keys. I'm glad for a God that can. And I'm glad for a God that will. But the response was, if thou canst. The man said, if you can do anything, and Jesus said, if you can believe. Now, our problem is not the word can. Our problem is when we start getting a hold of the word can't. I always heard can't, and my granddad said, can't never did a thing. Can't never did a thing. He was trying to tell me that attitude will get you nowhere. I can't do that. No, you can. You just got to learn. I can't hit the baseball. You can. You just have to learn how. I can't catch the ball. You can. You just have to. You got to change your vocabulary. Can't never did a thing. You know what the Lord? You may not believe the Lord told me this, but I believe the Lord told me. Some of you are sitting on your can'ts. Maybe that wasn't the Lord. Maybe that was just me. I didn't say cans. I said can'ts. And you need to get up off your can't and grab a hold of can. He can. He will. Come on, somebody. You got to start. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Remember when Jesus went to Jairus' house? We preached on it not very long ago, but he gets to Jairus' house to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. And he encounters these professional mourners. Remember I told you they had professional mourners in Jesus' day. These are people who were hired, trained and hired, to just come to your house and mourn your loss. They wail, they weep, they would cry for you. They would fill the house with mourning. And here's the thing about professional mourners. They have no investment. They are there for the money. They're there for what they can get out of it. They don't really care. They are mourners. They are mourners. They epitomize negativity. They are in every church. They are in every, I believe, most every service. They are in every singles group, every youth group, every hyphen group. They are in every camp meeting. They're in every revival service. I could go on and on. You know what I'm saying. They don't worship. They don't get involved. They are there, but just for what they can get out of it. They complain. They gossip. They start drama. They're the first ones out. They're the first ones to leave. They're the ones looking at their watch 500 times during the message. They're the ones out the door first. They don't care. Now, hear me when I say this. I'm not trying to be negative. Don't hate on them. And I didn't come to preach against them. Pray for them. Love them. But I want you to watch this. When Jesus walks into that house, he makes an outlandish statement. An outlandish, ridiculous statement. He looks at a dead girl and says, "She's not dead." He looks at a lifeless, breathless girl and said, "She's asleep." Now I pause here to teach you that your ability to operate in the power of God is always predicated upon your response to the outlandish. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Have you ever noticed the closer you get to the miracle, the more outlandish things seem? Listen in later when I preach at 1:30. I've got a message for that group too. But the closer you get to the miracle, the more outlandish, the more ridiculous, the more silly people think things are and things are getting. Are you with me? And your ability to operate in the power of God is always going to be predicated upon your response to those moments. His ways aren't ours. His thoughts are not ours. They are so far above us that our flesh will always process them as ridiculous and outlandish and crazy. In fact, have you ever tried to utter a statement of speech or a statement of faith? Have you ever tried to say a faithful statement, and it's almost hard to even articulate because you're speaking something you know when you're starting to say it? This sounds silly. Amen. I believe God is going to give us property to build a new building. I believe that he's going to do it debt-free. I believe that we can buy property debt-free. That is hard for me to say because just a few months ago, I was down at the bank asking them for a loan to buy property, Brother Bunch. And then this crazy thing called the COVID-19 hit, and the bank said, I don't think it's a good idea to give churches money right now. We don't know what's going to happen. He thought all of you were going to stop giving. He thought all of you were going to lose your jobs. He thought all of you might stop coming to church. Aren't you glad you're still here? Can I tell you that the church is having the best financial year we've ever had. 2020, right now, we're already having the best financial year. Take that, devil. Amen. But for whatever reason, that stopped. That process was stopped, and you saw the sign. They're already going. They're ready to put something else up there on our what we thought was our property. I don't understand that, but I feel like God said, you're thinking too small. You're thinking that you got to beg and plead and borrow every dollar to do everything. He told me, don't you know I own the cattle on all the hills? Don't you know I own all the hills? I get all wrapped up in looking. I go online and see who owns what. Who owns what property? Who do I have to talk to? He's like, I own it all. It's my church, my earth. Do the math. Right. That's hard for me to even say from the pulpit. It really is. But I'm saying it as a statement of faith. It sounds outlandish, and some because I think that there are people who will not receive that. I don't mean you, but I know when I say that, there are people who say, that's silly. You can't just expect to pay cash for property in Monroe County, in Ellettsville. And I say, well, we really do. We serve a why not God, you know? God said, why not? Why not? So here's what I've had to learn to do. Because I've got very good at this. There's times where I can whip the key out. I got faith. And then something else comes along. I don't know about that. You know? I got to stop putting my faith away. I just got to learn to walk in faith. Operate in faith all the time. Are you with me here?
Amen.
His thoughts are so far above ours, and the music is coming, that our flesh, that to our flesh, they will always, our flesh will always process them as ridiculous. Notice this, when God speaks that ridiculous, outlandish word, she's not dead, she's only asleep. Two things may happen. One is they laughed him to scorn. I've always thought it interesting that the mourners became scorners. They went from professional mourning to scorning. The mourners become scorners. They mocked. They got rude. Now listen to me. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, if you're going to rise above the pulls of this life, the pulls of your flesh, you better be ready for some naysayers. You better be ready for some people to call you just outright crazy. Amen. You won't always be popular. But this is not a popularity contest. They got rude. That's the first thing. The second thing is that someone will receive the outlandish word and just believe it. And that's why I believe that he took the three who were most open with him. Peter, James, and John. He said, you fellas come with me. They were most open to the ridiculous. He said, you come with me. He left the nine who maybe weren't quite as open yet. And he put the scorners completely out. And he said, in this atmosphere,
yes. Yes.
We can do something here.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now, God wants to work.
Yes. Yes.
Where do you want to be? Do you want to be in there, in that room? Or do you want to be one that he said, I can't work with this? You know, it's basically like he said, everybody without keys, get on out of here. Because we need some people with keys.
Amen.
Amen. Please watch the live stream later, or at least watch the sermon. I wish I had time to preach that one to you guys. I'm having such a good time preaching to you today. I wish I could preach both sermons. Could we just sing a song and me go into the next sermon? Would that be okay? No. Who said amen? Yeah, the ones that are coming back anyway. Say, yeah, go on. Nobody up there said a word. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I got to land this plane. Man, I could fly all day. You know, Peter walked on the water because Jesus spoke a ridiculous word Anybody remember what that word was? Peter said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. One word, Jesus said. That's ridiculous. You out there on the water. I'm in this safe boat. I know it's stormy, but I'd rather be in a rocking boat than out there trying to walk on water. But Peter walked on the water because Jesus spoke this outlandish word, come. I believe the Lord is calling people today into new waters. I really do believe that. We started this year out. I don't know if you all remember. It's been a long year, and it's been a fast year at the same time. But we started this year out with me telling you, man, I just felt like God had built my faith so strong. Going into January, I felt like my faith was just so strong. And I thought it was for a building program. But it wasn't. And if you remember when we were casting vision, I said, I believe this is going to be a year of unprecedented expansion. Amen. And what's happened to all of us during quarantine? No, I'm just kidding. See, you can spiritualize anything if you try hard enough. I told you so. You know what's happened to the church? We may not have soared out of the top of our buildings, but man, you know what I sense in all of you? I feel it. I feel you've just gotten stronger. Sometimes, see, in order to lay, if you're going to build a tall building, you got to dig deep. You don't build big buildings on shallow foundations. You dig deep, and you dig wide. We want to go high, but we don't want God to dig around us. And God's been digging around us. I believe this is a year for unprecedented expansion. I believe that when we come out of this thing, bam, whew, church is going to soar. We are ready, poised for the greatest revival this world has ever seen. If you would accept that, would you say amen? Peter walked because the Lord said come. It was a ridiculous statement, but Peter received it. Peter said, I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to put the key in the ignition. I do not understand how that car starts. I do not understand how those sparks interact with this and that. I don't understand it all. I certainly didn't invent it, but I'm going to put my key in there. I'm just going to trust you, Lord. And he walked on the water while 11 others did not. So I will close with this. Don't you dare let a majority of people who have decided to reject the outlandish, don't you dare let them rob you of your journey. Don't you let them rob you of your destination. Don't you dare let them cause you to stick your keys back in your pocket and say, well, maybe we are better off. Maybe it's okay just staying where I am. No, no, no. God's got greater things for you, greater things for you, greater things for you, greater things for you. You're going places in the Lord. I would rather walk on water with Jesus and sink and have him reach out and rescue me, brother Teague, than to never get out of the boat at all. You might criticize me for sinking, but hey, you didn't even get out of the boat. You leave me alone. Don't you? You keep your mouth off me. You see it all the time. Well, they stepped out by faith. And look, you didn't even step out by faith. Keep your mouth shut. I'm so sick and tired of boat riders criticizing the water walkers because they only walked a few steps. They walked a few steps more than you. Come on, don't you worry about your critics. You get your key of faith out and go walk with Jesus. Come on, take a ride with Jesus. Come on, whatever you want to use the analogy, just get on board and let God do his thing in your life. Are you ready? Are you ready for revival? Come on, are you ready to be used by God? Come on, we're going to sing. We're going to worship. I want you to take the next few moments. I want you to do whatever you feel led to do. You want to worship? Worship. Let this message get down in your heart. I want you to leave differently than you came. I don't want you to amen and high five the Lord and go home. I want you to let this get in your spirit. Some of you, the devil's been trying to steal your key and you found it today. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Devil's been trying to get you to think small, and God's expanded your thinking, your faith today. Aren't you glad? Give the Lord a mighty hand clap of praise as we go into worship. Pray, worship, come to the altar, whatever you want to do. Come on, let's enjoy this.
We walk in your victory. We stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord.
Get that right now. Whenever you feel led, very carefully, No, I don't need to do that. I need to dismiss you by rows. So stick around just a little longer. We're not there yet. Let's do it. If you want prayer, come. If you want somebody to pray with you, come. I'll give you just a few minutes here. Hold up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God. Am I still coming out there? We are so thankful for all of you being here today. Haven't we had a time in the Lord? To all of our guests, we're so thankful to have you. It's good to meet Abby's parents today. Is it Travis and Dawn? We're glad they're here from Tennessee. And for all of our guests, we're so thankful that you are here, and we welcome you to Turning Point. We hope you're able to come back. And we're going to dismiss. We've been dismissing by rows. Good-looking crowd here today. Continue to pray. Continue to pray for all of those that can't be here. Brother Mooney has been diagnosed with COVID, and he really needs a touch of the Lord. And so let's continue to pray. For this virus, God's going to give us victory over it. Amen. We're going to get through this. But, hey, we're having a revival. God's on the throne. God is working and moving. Amen. Brother Bryce, we're going to dismiss your section, brother. Lead us out. God bless you. Good to see your family here today. Happy anniversary. Sorry, I got it wrong on Facebook. All the pictures were of you. I told him happy birthday.